It is 14 minutes past 8. Let me tell you about the retired electrician from Kokoroa. He achieved the world first late last week. He flew a small homemade wooden aeroplane from New Zealand to Australia. It was a three-legged flight over the Tasman Sea. And Murray Belfield is the man's name. And Murray is with us on the line from Port Macquarie, isn't it, Murray?
No, it was Port Macquarie yesterday, now at a place near Appin in south of Sydney.
Oh, so you've already flown
from Port. I travelled down there yesterday.
Right. So, Murray, what's your background? It was a world first what?
Well, if we want to talk about world first, as far as I'm aware, custom-built or home-built Jodie of the 11 hasn't flown. It's your first time one has flown across the Tasman this way and the other way, I dare say.
Yeah, you went against the rest of it, that's right.
But I dare say, as far as I know, of course.
Murray, it's an amazing thing to have done. You are 66 years old.
That's right.
You learned to fly when you were 50.
That's right. Yeah.
And you decided to build your own aircraft. It took you a long time.
Yeah, it took about 8 or 9 years to get it to where it is now. I finished it in 1990, and I've been flying it on and off, of course, during that time.
Because when people think, you know, when you say you built it at home, people sometimes think that people mock these things up. I mean, you were built from a kit set.
No, it was built just from scratch, plans and Sitka spruce came from naturally imported New Zealand fletchers, and the plywood comes in, crates, your fabric, of course. You pick up all the gathered, all the materials together, and naturally build the plane from. It's totally from plans, yes.
Wood and fabric.
Yes, the plane is Sitka spruce covered with reinforced with finished birch plywood. And then covered with Dacron, or I think it's Dacron type of what's called seconite fabric.
But anyway, Murray, on the trip, you left from Kerikeri last Thursday.
Yes.
And where did you go to, Lord Howe?
Left about midday from Kerikeri. Yeah. And I had a bit of a slight headwind, I think, and ended up going and got to Norfolk Island. Yeah. And 5 hours later, about that time, it's nearly 500 miles. Nautical miles from Kerikeri.
So you overnighted at Norfolk?
Yes, overnighted at Norfolk. And then the next day I departed for Lord Howe Island.
Yes.
Same leg distance almost, a few miles, and that took nearly 5 hours. And I was quite surprised, as only using 20 litres an hour of fuel. So that was interesting, because I carried 220 litres. I meant to have plenty to spare, of course.
Yeah, you certainly did, didn't you? Your radio packed up. Was it first or second day?
The radio didn't transmit right from the when I took off from Kerikeri. I couldn't get any calls back from Auckland Radio, and it's on the oceanic frequency.
Yeah.
But I could hear all the traffic. So it's something I'm still sorting out. It may be that the ground plane isn't sufficiently big being a wooden aeroplane, but in Tokoroa, before I left, I was talking to Auckland Radio, testing, and it seemed to work there, so
right.
I'm still a bit baffled. I'm not an expert on radios, but right. I can use a bit of logic, hopefully.
Yeah. And so, Lord Howe, you overnighted again, I guess?
Correct, yeah.
And then it was the third day where you ran into the clag.
Yeah, we had, it was that low, still hanging around here. It's starting to move off now, and I got quite strong headwinds. I was down to, it was good, it was a short leg of only about 300,
yeah.
I think something like 360 miles or something. But
yeah. So you had the GPS, you knew what your ground
speed
was.
Correct, but when you're travelling at 8,000 feet, you're 7,000 to 8,000 feet on a bit more, perhaps get above the cumulus, and you can't see easy, of course. I had to drop down through it some distance, 80 miles out, before Aussie to or Port Macquarie to make sure I could, I was ahead of the game with a whole visibility to see, you know. And
well, you wanted to know what the conditions were like, I suppose, at Port Macquarie.
Yeah, that's correct. And yeah.
That must have been a hell of a worry to you, when
you it's a bit of, you don't want to drive to drop down into, it was a very strong headwind, Whitecaps even for 2,000 feet. That's a good swell running.
Yeah.
And of course, it got a headwind. It was pretty well 20 knots, I think, and slowed you down about 70 knots.
Wow.
And
what was the crowd base? Where did you come out of it?
Just before Port Macquarie, I had to get down to about 2,000 feet, I think, and a bit less. There was heavy rain, and you know, the squall going across, you see. So that was the part that.
So visibility was nasty.
Visibility was. I'm used to pretty rough weather, but it wasn't good. Didn't bother me, but it was one of those things. Quite heavy rain that took the. It does knock the leading edge of a propeller around, you see.
Oh, that's right.
And
but of course, you know, you'd be worried too that you know you were going to be able to land probably in visibility, I suppose.
Oh, no, that's pretty good there. As long as I can see a shoreline,
yeah.
You can, the plane's very good at low speed, and that's okay. But you don't want to get caught in a strong wind as you're. And thrown around too much if you can help it.
No, no, that's right. And so you got to Port Macquarie, and then you had done it. Marvellous.
Was it frightening? Yes, it was.
Was it frightening, some of it?
Well, I must say, I'm not being. I wasn't really frightened about it at all. It was actually quite an enjoyable trip, mostly. Just went all the way.
Well done, Murray. Marvellous.
Yes, it was.
All the very best. Jodel D11.
It's
D11.
It is a custom or custom built version of the plans of the Robin aircraft. The same thing built in France, but more sophisticated.
Murray, I've got to go, and I thank you very much. Yeah. Good thing, great thing, the GPS, isn't it? Murray Belfield, a Trans Tasman aviator, on the line from the south of Sydney, 22 minutes past 8.